Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. Was that a hesitant good morning? You guys normally are a little more ready for that than that. I'm going to just try that again. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're glad that you're here. We like to use this greeting that Christians have used for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. We need that. We need that reminder of the Lord's presence. All the things that we go through in life, and some of you know already that we lost Stacy's mom yesterday. When we face grief, when we go through difficulty, we need to know that God meets us right in the middle of it, right where we live. And thank you for those of you who've been praying for her, for us. God is gracious and good in the midst of grief, and it's good to know where Judy is right now. If you would, I would love it if we could pray as we begin. God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for gathering us together to worship you. We need these moments where we bring all of the stuff of life, all of our the things that weigh our heart, down our hearts, the things that buzz through our minds. God, when we bring our grief, our pain, our questions, our failures, our uncertainties, when we bring all of it, God, to you. And you've invited us into this time where we can bring all that we are to you today, because you are the God who made us. You're the God who loves us. And you are here to meet with us, to be gracious and good. So God, would you help us to be open to you? Help us to be open to say what we need to say to you, because you hear the cries of our hearts. Help us to be open to receive what you want to give, to hear what you want to say. Help this service, God, to be a time of genuine connection between us and our Heavenly Father. You are so good, and we are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, let's stand and let's sing.
I don't know about anybody else, but this week has felt like thick with spiritual fighting, just a lot going on and a lot of reasons to need to bring it to the Lord in prayer. For me, worship is the battle that I engage in, and so I'm just going to sing about that a little bit.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I'm safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And almighty fortress, you go before us, Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
You know, something interesting in that song, too, that I hadn't realized before, or maybe I didn't, just forgot, but, you know, people often talk about how the worshipers were first in line in the army, but really, God was first in line. God goes before us, so that's really cool.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let my Jesus change your life.
You, Lord, oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me.
Amen. I invite you to pray with me, will you? Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness. Even if we tried, Lord, if we tried to sit and list all the ways that you've been good to us, there would never be enough time. we'd spend the rest of our days, Lord, all day, every day, thinking of and looking at those places that you have been good to us in our lives. Knowing that it didn't seem like it at the time. In those hard places, in those hard things, in those difficult situations, Lord, we still know that you've been good to us, and you are good to us, and you will continue being good to us. I thank you for that truth today. That no matter what we're looking at today, no matter what we're facing, you are still good, and you still love us. You always have, you always will. You'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. You'll never abandon us, Lord. And we can never say thank you enough. We can never express our gratitude to you, Lord. No matter how overwhelming our gratitude is, we still can never express it. There's no words that could ever describe it. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for being here with us, with each person that's joined us in this building right now, online, or those that will see this later, Lord. We thank you for each one. I thank you for the family and community that each person here represents. And I thank you, Lord, that you've invited us into your presence this morning, that you were already here before we arrived. You'll be here long after us. And yet you go with us wherever we go, guiding us, leading us, comforting us, admonishing us, correcting us, loving us. And for that, we give you thanks. And we ask, Lord, this morning that you would be with Pastor Rich as he brings your word to us. Give him a special anointing this morning. And we pray all these things, Lord, giving you honor and glory and praise and blessing, because you alone are worthy, as we pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Just a quick note to all of you who are joining us online, welcome to you as well. Since we didn't get to shake your hand or give you a hug just now, I hope you'll drop us a line in the comments. Let us know you're worshiping with us today. And if you have something private you'd like to share, I think there's going to be a link on the screen, yeah, to a website you can go to, livinghope.info/connect. You can communicate something privately to us there. And of course, all of us in the room can do that same thing. If there's some way we can be thanking God with you, praying for you, answering a question for you, you can go there. Or since you're in the room, you can just grab one of those little green cards off the table in the back, jot your question or whatever it is on there, drop it in the offering box, and if you're giving today, you can drop that in there too. You can give online. All of that stuff works. So again, thank you to all of you who give so faithfully, and thank you to those of you who pray for the folks that we, if you check the box saying, hey, share this with others, and we'll put it on the back of the bulletin. And I know some of you actually look at that, because I have some of you come up and ask me then, like, hey, who's this? You know, like, you see a new name in there that we're asking for healing, or you see a new situation, and you're asking for details. So thank you to all of you who pray. One group in particular this week that we're wanting to pray for is all of our students and teachers and administrators and parents and all the people associated with the transition to school. You know, elementary up through high school is going back this week, here locally anyway. And then we've also got students that are graduating and or have graduated or moving on to college, including Addie Cotton back there. So congrats, Addie. She's moving to Maine to go to college, so congratulations. I would love it. Yeah, I would love it if we could pause for just a minute just to ask God to bless Addie on her journey and just pray for all of those who are involved with this education transition. Is that okay? All right. I didn't hear any objections, so I'm going to pray. Thank you, God, for the end of summer, the beginning of a new school year. Thank you for all the things you help us to learn, the ways you help us to grow, the ways that you help those of us on the parent side of things as we love and lead our children and teach them all that we can and entrust them to others to teach them all that they can. And God, thank you for those on the student side. Thank you for Addie and for all that she has brought to our church over these past few years. And God, we look forward to seeing the ways that she's going to continue to grow and continue to learn as she goes off to college. God, continue to bless her and strengthen her faith in you as she continues to learn and as she is, off in the far away from family and friends. God, surround her with good friends. Surround her with people who will encourage her, not just, in life, but encourage her faith and help her to be an encouragement then as well to others. Oh, God, all of us who are in the midst of this transition, God, we pray for grace. We pray for strength. Pray for your help. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Also in there, just a couple things coming up. This Saturday is the next bike giveaway. If you've got a bike or need a bike, you can donate a bike. You can come pick up a bike. And I feel like we get a lot of phone calls and stuff from folks asking, hey, can I donate a bike? Yes, you can donate a bike. Or will they have this certain type of bike? We don't know what bikes they're going to have, okay? It just depends on what's been donated, what's been fixed, what's ready. So if you know someone that needs a bike, have them show up this Saturday. And it's a first-come, first-serve kind of thing, so just, show up, and they'll help you, the people who are there will help guide you toward a bike that might meet your needs. And then a week from this Thursday is the next Joyful Noise Worship Night, where we gather together with some Christians from other churches. We get to host it here. I know I got to see several of you at the last one. It's a good time, so if you want to be here for a night of worship, for some of you, not for anybody in the room right now, I suppose. You're all here at 9 a.m., so you're morning people. But we've got some other folks in our church where they're not here at 9 a.m. They make it to 10:30 usually, but, evening is much more their speed. So if you know someone like that, they're just looking for a chance to worship, it's basically just a worship service in the evening. Thursday, August 21st, we'd be glad to have you. And I was reminded that we've got a flyer out there for the Respite House concert happening right after that, August 23rd, I think 6 p.m. in Central Park Plaza. Many of you know Mitch Peters, who helped start Respite House. This is just their annual. It's a fundraiser, but it's free. I'm not sure how that works exactly. So it's a concert. They'll take donations, if you want to make donations. But it's a free concert downtown on August 23rd, and they want to make sure that you knew about it. I feel like there's like five other things I needed to mention to you just now. But yes. That's a surprise. Okay. Okay. Hang on. I'm going to give you this. There you go.
So I've talked about the Great Banquet and the Awakening and all those weekends. After those weekends are done, and several times a year, everybody gets together and just kind of worships and eats and mostly eats and has a good time. Anyway, the summer one is coming up next Saturday. So if anybody wants any information about it, or if you've been like on the fence, like, I don't know if I want to go to camp, I don't know who these people are, you can just see me and I'll give you the details. It's going to be at OE Lakeside, so kind of over by Lake Eliza. It's really beautiful. It'll be a real fun time. And anybody's welcome, and they have stuff for the kids, so it'll be a great time.
Very cool. Yeah, there are so many good things happening in the broader church and in the broader community. If you're sitting around thinking like, man, I need to get to know some good people, or I don't have anything to do, or something like that. Like, boy, we can connect you with some people and connect you with some good activities. There's lots of good things happening all the time. So before we dive into the message, I want us just to pause and pray again. Just give us a chance to kind of shift gears mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You can close your eyes if you want to, however you choose to pray, but just a chance to breathe. Chance to quiet our hearts, to say, God, we want to hear you speaking today. We look to your word because for thousands of years now, followers of Jesus have heard your Holy Spirit speaking to us through these documents, through these letters, through these gospels, this record of the ways that you were at work among the earliest Christians, and we find you still to be at work today. Speak to our hearts, God, as only you can. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been talking about prayer the last couple of weeks, I know last week one of the themes in the Psalms that we were looking at was that of being overwhelmed. And one of the Psalms, Psalm 55, I think it was, talked about being like so overwhelmed, it's like I can't stop shaking. And sometimes we get that way in life, and we need to reach out to God. We need something to get us past that point. And I was realizing there are like a couple of different things that can overwhelm us sometimes. And so today we're looking at praying when we're overwhelmed by worry, or when we've got like some real enemies in our lives who are making it really difficult for us. And so we're going to look at some ways that prayer helps us with both of those. Because God doesn't want us to be overwhelmed with worry, doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by people who have it out for us. He wants us to be able, in the midst of those things, to turn to Him and to draw strength, to see our hearts and our lives transformed. One of my favorite verses about prayer, and partly because the New Living Translation puts it in a way that I can remember, is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'd put it there at the top of your notes. It just says, don't worry about anything. And if that was all that he said, if the Apostle Paul just said, hey, quit worrying, and be like, well, thanks a lot, Paul. That doesn't help me at all. I can't just stop worrying. I mean, I'm worrying. It's happening to me. It's not like I'm, you know, seeking this out. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Oh, okay. So he's saying, take your worries and like take them to God. These things that are buzzing around in your head, these things that are you know, squeezing your heart, these things that wake you up in the middle of the night. It's like, don't just sit there and stew on them. Take them to God. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. So He just gives those two couple of things. Like, okay, so when you need something, tell God about it. And when God's done something good, thank Him for it. If He says, then you will experience God's peace. And if any of you are worriers, which I know some of us, we're all wired up differently. Some of you are like, what's this worry business? Why don't people just stop worrying? I mean, if I'm worried about something, I just pray and I just quit worrying. I'm like, just stop it. Stop it. You know, and you're just easy for you. Others of you are wired very differently, you know, and it doesn't matter how hard you try. It's like the worries keep on bubbling up. And so this is giving us something. If we want to experience God's peace, this is giving us a way to approach that. It says, okay, this will help. The Apostle Paul found this helpful. His hearers found this helpful. Christians for thousands of years have found this as a way to help us not be overwhelmed by worry. We pray, we tell God what we need, and we thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It says, His peace will protect you. His peace will protect your heart from worries spiraling out of control and leading you in a direction that you really don't want to go. His peace will guard your minds and help you help keep some of those, I can't remember the word for those intrusive thoughts, those disruptive thoughts, can help keep those at bay, can help you process those in a way that says, you know what, having one of those intrusive thoughts again, but God is with me and God is good and He's going to see me through. Instead of worrying, we can pray about everything. We can tell God what we need and thank Him for all He's done and experience His peace. And he follows this by saying, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. He's nearing the end of this letter. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He says, fix your thoughts on these things. When worries make you, you know, kind of take your thoughts in a different direction, make you want to fixate on a problem or on a situation or on a person who is a problem in a situation, when your thoughts are wanting to go that direction and latch onto something like that, he's saying, wait, find something positive, fix your thoughts there. Now, I got to tell you, the thing that helps me to do that most is what we just said right before this, to thank God. To pray about everything, to tell God what I need, and that might be where my prayer goes. Like, okay, God, you know I need help with this. You know I'm feeling overwhelmed by this. I need you to help me. I need you to keep me from sinking. I need you to, you know, lift me up. I need you to be my refuge, my rock. All these images from the Psalms. That was all last week. So Scripture is a great resource. Use it. You know, focus on those images in your prayers. It might be you're telling God what you need, or it might be you need to spend some time thanking God for all He's done. You find those good things and you thank God for them. Those things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. And you say, well, thank you, God. Thank you for that person who just gave me that hug. It was a good hug. I needed that hug. Thank you, God, for them. Thank you, God, for the beauty of that sunset. I needed that moment of peace. Thank you, God, for that song that we just sang. And the way that they phrased that is the way that I needed to hear it. Find those good things and fix your thoughts there. He says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. He goes back to that same theme. He must have known that these believers there in Philippi needed to experience God's peace, just like so many of us do. We need God's peace. And so one way to get there is to pray about everything, just to talk to God. Prayer is just communication with God. I mentioned last week, it doesn't have to be like a scripted prayer, written prayer. It can be. Those can be incredibly helpful. And it might be that if you don't know the words to pray, if you're just like, I'm just stuck, I can't even put two thoughts together into a sentence, maybe that's when you open up the book of Psalms and you just pray one of those psalms. Or maybe that's when you go to the devotional book or the prayers of Christians who've gone before and you let them guide your prayers. Fix your thoughts on the good things and give God thanks, and the God of peace will be with you. Because as Peter said in one of his letters, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. So if we're, it's kind of asking the question there, like, do we believe this? Do we believe that God cares about us? Do we believe that God really is a loving Heavenly Father that we can trust, that we can entrust our lives to? When we're worried about something, well, Jesus had some words to say about this too. Matthew chapter 6-7, about worry. And he comes back to that idea that God is our loving Heavenly Father who provides, just like he provides for the birds of the air, just like he provides for the lilies of the field. God provides for us the things that we need. Do we believe that we have a loving Heavenly Father who knows our needs, who walks with us through the dark valleys, who walks with us through the times of need? If we do, if we believe that God genuinely cares for us, then in the midst of those circumstances, we can go to God and say, okay, God, I need you to remind me that you care for me. I need you to remind me that you're walking with me through this time. I need you to remind my heart. My heart doesn't seem to forget. Which reminds me of some of those Psalms where David talks to his soul, you know, where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name, right? He's like, he's talking to himself. Sometimes in our prayers, we just need to say, okay, God, I need you to remind my wandering heart, my worrying heart, remind me that you love me. And we can remind ourselves that he loves us by fixing our thoughts on some of those good things that he's done for us. It makes it possible for us to do what Paul said to the Christians in was it Thessaloniki? I should have just said to the Thessalonians, because then I wouldn't have to worry about that. Anyway, where he says in chapter 5, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this is what God wants you to do. No matter what your circumstances, that you pray and that you even give thanks and rejoice no matter your circumstances. Because in whatever circumstance you find yourself, God wants you to be connected to him. And he knows the way for you to experience peace in the midst of those circumstances is to give him thanks. This is the same Paul that we read about a couple of weeks ago that was in the Philippian jail at midnight with Silas, having been beaten and without a trial, locked up and put in the inner cell. And at midnight is the two of them are praying and singing hymns to God when God sends this earthquake and sets them all free. This is something he has put into practice. He has demonstrated this. Some of you have demonstrated this. I know Missy has talked about, losing her daughter and then going to the gathering and worshiping. The same night, right? Yeah. Knowing that, like, okay, God loves me and the people of God love me, and this is where I need to be. I need to be in a place where I'm reminded of God's goodness and faithfulness in the midst of my grief, in the midst of what I'm going through. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray continually. Rejoice always. You might see a theme appearing in some of these. Like this next one. Paul put this into practice with the Thessalonians as well. That was at the end of his letter. He began his letter by saying, we always thank God for all of you. It might be that what you find to thank God for in the midst of your circumstances is some people, right? Some people that God surrounded you with, some people that God's placed in your life. He says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, your good work, that your love and your hope and your faith that they have inspired and prompted, this is inspiring us, and it's giving us reason to thank God for you, even in the midst of, he talks later in the letter, in the midst of their own persecution and suffering. They're finding people to thank God for. That's what, when I was, I almost titled this message just like praying with gratitude or with thanksgiving or something like that, but because so much of the time, that's the direction that God wants our prayers to go. In fact, I find myself doing that almost every time I pray with anybody. It could be the worst possible circumstances, and I find that almost always the first words out of my mouth are, thank you, God, as I begin my prayer. Sometimes, to be honest, it's a habit, all right? So it's not that I'm just overwhelmed and just overflowing with thanks in that moment, but it's a habit now for me. I start almost every prayer with, thank you, God, when I'm praying with someone else. If it's just me praying, then it's kind of continuing conversation that we've been having earlier, and I might not, you know, it's just a continued conversation throughout the day, but if I'm pausing to pray with someone, almost always the first words out of my mouth are, thank you, God. And sometimes, then I'm scrambling like, oh, God, what am I thanking you for in the midst of this? But I know there's something, because there's always something to thank God for, and sometimes it's thank you, God, that you invite us to bring these needs to you, that you're hearing us right now, that you're inviting us to cry out to you in the midst of our pain or whatever it might be. Sometimes it's thank you, God, for the chance to meet this person and to pray for them. Sometimes it's thank you for the ways you've been at work. And oftentimes when we're going through some difficult situation that's got us worried or there's an enemy that's making our lives difficult, you know, that's not the beginning of the story. There's things that we're thanking God for the way he's been with us all along the way up to now. And so God, just like you've been faithful, we know you're going to see us through this next thing. Prayers of thanks are a powerful thing in the life of a Christian. He says it again in his letter to Timothy. He says, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Which this one's a stretch, okay? Just so you know, this is a stretch. Because he says for all people. And you know, there's lots of people we're not especially thankful for, right? I'm guessing if you're scandalized by that, like, what? What do you mean? No, be honest for a second. There are people in your life or people that you know or people you're aware of that you're not particularly thankful for. You know, that you just as soon not bump into them today, right? Or just as soon that maybe, you know, like, oh, maybe they'll call in sick tomorrow and I won't have to deal with them. And maybe the next day too. Maybe the day after that. Maybe they just get a transfer, you know, to a different job or a different school or something, or a different neighborhood or something. Maybe, you know, because there's some people in our lives that, like, when we see pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them, it's like, oh, God, how do I give thanks for them? It's where we start to think about enemies, perhaps, right? Some people in our lives that, like, wait, God, you want us to pray for all people? Really? I like the way the Message paraphrase, the way Eugene Peterson put that, the first part of that. He just said, pray every way you know how for everyone you know. every way you know how for everyone that you know. And we know he means everyone because the very next words out of his mouth, oh, sorry, I guess off his pen, it's written, sorry. The very next verse is, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. And the kings and the people in authority in the Apostle Paul's life weren't especially friendly toward Christians, right? And so he's talking about enemies while he's saying, pray for these kings and pray for those in authority. He says, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So we don't get sucked into war or economic upheaval or all those things that turn our lives upside down. He said, pray for kings. Pray for those whose their responsibility is to lead whatever country we find ourselves in. You know, and Paul traveled quite a bit, right? Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. I know in our current political climate and in our country where it seems like the person in charge or the people in charge, whether you're thinking of Congress or the White House, where that shifts sometimes wildly from one election to the next, I know that things are so polarized, we're accustomed sometimes to thinking of the people of that other party as the enemy. And so there's all kinds of, you know, not my president and those kinds of things that get said. And we're told to pray for them, whether they're supporting the same policies we want or not. We're told to pray for them, whether they belong to the same party that we do or not. We're to pray for all people, including kings and those in charge. That might be the source of half your worries, is the things related to this. And maybe some of that worry would be dissipated, would turn into peace if you would pray, if you would make it a practice to pray for all people. I know it's not easy. I'll talk about that in just a second. I know it's not, it doesn't come naturally, perhaps. It depends on how ugly your prayers are going to get. Some pretty ugly prayers do come naturally, I guess. and we talked about that last week. Some of the Psalms have some pretty ugly prayers in them, right? For our enemies and what we want God to do to our enemies. And if that's where you are, prayer should be honest, okay? God knows your heart. God knows your thoughts. You're not hiding anything from Him. So you might as well be honest with God about what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're going through, what you really think about that person. You can be honest with God about that because God already knows. And what you want that person to experience, good or ill, God already knows what you want. So you might as well, honestly, you might as well say that to God. In part because when we pray to God about them, when we say those things to God, it's one way that we kind of put those things in God's hands. And even if what you most want for your enemy is for them to have those series of sick days and never come back, even if that's what you really want, when you put it in God's hands, that means you don't take it in your hands. You're not going to be slipping anything into their coffee to make sure they don't come to work the next day, right? You're not taking it into your hands. You're leaving it in God's hands. You're saying, okay, God, I'm trusting you. This is what, God, you know I can't take it. Please, God, do something. And if your prayers for them are ugly, God would rather that. I would rather that. I think that's a good, if you have to begin there, I'm not going to say it's a good place to begin. It's better than not praying at all. Okay? Even if you have to pray an ugly prayer that's like, God, I wish this weren't true. I wish this weren't how I'm feeling. But if I'm going to be honest, this is what I wish you would do. I mean, frankly, sometimes when we are hurt, and when that hurt has a person's face and name associated with it, that they did the evil directly to us or to someone we love, you know that's what you're feeling. You know what you want. You want them to get what's coming to them. And prayer is a way that we say, okay, God, I need them to get what's coming to them from you, not from me. But here's what happens. As we do this, as we pray for them, we find that God helps us He helps us to shift our prayers. So now we find ourselves able to ask God to help them. We find ourselves even able to intercede on their behalf. That's when you're praying for someone, like they're not praying for themselves. Like we're stepping in and asking God to do things that they're not asking God to do for themselves. Right? We're interceding on their behalf. And even giving thanks for them. I mean, Jesus was the one, Luke chapter 6 said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus knew if human society isn't just going to end up in a nuclear wasteland, I don't know if he knew the nuclear wasteland part, but if he knew that if society wasn't just going to end with us all destroying each other, that some portion of the human population, somebody has to refuse to return evil for evil. Someone has to decide, no matter what evil is done to me, no matter how someone curses me, I'm going to return blessing instead of curses. The Apostle Paul put it in one of his letters, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus instructs us to do. And it's what he helps us to do as we pray. Now, if you are just totally stuck, not sure how on earth to pray for these people, I would encourage you, like I did last week, use scripture to inspire your prayers. I was looking again at the Lord's Prayer that we're going to pray together in just a minute. This is from Matthew chapter 6, from another translation. You've heard these words before, but you can just think of these and say, okay, God, I need you to do this for them. When you say, our Father in heaven, you say, God, please help them to know you as a loving Heavenly Father. They don't seem to. They seem to think that they've got to, you know, look out for number one. They don't seem to know that there's a God who loves them, who cares about them. Would you help them to have a relationship with you? May your name be revered as holy. God, would you help them to, they've been pretty blasphemous and disrespectful so far, but would you help them to come to a place where they know you for who you really are? May your kingdom come. God, would your kingdom come in their life? Your will be done in their life, God. Would you help them to come to a place where they acknowledge you as king? Where they live their life in a way that reflects you? And God, I'm praying that for me too. God, help me to live that way. Please, God, would you be king over their life? They think they're in charge. Please, God, help them to know that you are in charge. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, God, I've already told you what I want. This is my way, God, of saying, okay, I want your will to be done. It's not what I want, but what you want. What you want for them. And that's when that moment where the Holy Spirit says, you know, I love them, right? Just like I love you. Yeah, I know, God. You know, I love them just, even in as unlovable as they are right now, I love them just like I loved you when you were unlovable. Remember, you used to be pretty unlovable? I know, God, I was. Okay, please, God, your will be done in their life. Give us today our daily. Please, God, provide for their needs. Give them what they need. Maybe they're not getting what they need, and that's why they're acting the way they are toward me, toward others. Forgive us our debts. Oh, God, please forgive them. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Oh, God, help me to forgive them. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. God, the devil wants to kill and steal and destroy, and he wants to destroy their life. He wants them to continue down the path they're on. Please, God, would you rescue them from the devil? You want to give us life and life to the full. Would you help them to experience that? You can see how that prayer could help you to pray for an enemy, right? And to actually pray for good things for them instead of maybe the things that we want to pray. There are other great examples. If you're praying for other people, maybe that doesn't have to be an enemy. You can use the Lord's Prayer to help you pray for anyone, someone you love, someone you care about, someone that you like. There are also examples in the Psalms we talked about last week. There are some raw prayers in the Psalms and in Paul's letters. I just gave you examples there. We don't have time to go through them, but Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, there are some excellent prayers as he prays for those he's writing to. And man, sometime if you're praying for somebody, just open one of those up and pray what Paul prays for them. You pray for that person. It's some beautiful prayers. This is not easy, all right? When we are overwhelmed with worry, when we've got somebody making our life miserable, it is not easy to give thanks in all circumstances. It's not easy to pray for someone who's mistreating us. But if we'll do it, man, if we'll get there, this will radically transform our lives. It will prevent us from going down some pretty ugly paths that worry can take us down or bitterness can take us down. It can change us from the inside out. Jesus talked about it this way in Luke 6. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Like, I told you to love them. I told you to pray for them. Why? You say I'm Lord. This is what I'm telling you to do. He says, I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. It's like a person building a house by digging deep, laying the foundation on bedrock. When the flood came, the rising water smashed against that house, but the water couldn't shake the house because it was well built. He said, when those worries, when those assaults come your way, if you have put these things into practice that I've told you to do, he says, not enough to hear it, you got to put it into practice. If you'll do this, man, your life turns solid, and you're able to weather the storms, and life is full of storms. He doesn't want this to happen. He says, those who don't put it into practice, don't put into practice what they hear, those who sit through a message like this one and say, oh, that's all nice for you, Rich, but I ain't praying for that person. I don't care, you know. Or you just don't know what I'm going through. I cannot escape this worry. I don't know how I'm gonna try to pray, but I don't think I've tried. If we refuse to put it into practice, he says, that's like someone who built a house without a foundation. The floodwater smashed against it, and it collapsed instantly. It was completely destroyed. And Jesus doesn't want that for you. For me, So even though it's not easy to dig deep, even though it's not easy to put into practice what Jesus instructs us to do, if we can do it, huh, oh man, it's a beautiful thing. I'm seeing it right in front of me recently as I see my father-in-law, as I see my brother-in-law, as I see my wife grappling with the loss of Stacy's mom. Seeing the way that God has been faithful and good and carrying them through this, seeing the way they are able to fix their thoughts on, you know, the good of knowing where Judy is right now. I'm telling you, it's not something they're able to just muster up in the moment. It's built on a life of putting these things into practice, of putting these things into practice so that when the storm comes, you've got the foundation, right? It's not something you just do in that moment. It's something you got to be putting into practice. You got to be putting the reps in every day, all right? Putting in those prayers. There was a passage that I mentioned last week, and I wanted to share that with you, but I needed to read the part right before it because I'll be honest, I don't always get this right. Okay, I confessed that to you that last week, the week before. Yeah, last week. When talking about prayer, I don't always get this right. I forget to put the reps in. I forget to put these things into practice sometimes. And when we do, sometimes we feel the reality of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He is the one to whom we are accountable. And sometimes we're like, oh, God, it's true. I've been not doing this at all. I've not been praying for my enemies. I've just been, you know, I've not been blessing those who curse me. I've been cursing them every chance I get, you know. Letting the air out of their tires when they weren't looking. I've been doing all kinds of, you know, God, I've not been doing this. And I'm feeling it. I'm feeling exposed. I'm feeling that, man, I don't know how I'm even going to make this happen. Right on the heels of that is this passage. It says, so then, since we have this great high priest, this is kind of continuing a conversation he's been having all chapter long, a high priest who entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The idea of the high priest is he's someone who goes between us and God, helps us to get where we need to go with God, prays for us on our behalf. Jesus is helping us to get to God. He says, so let's hold firmly to what we believe, that we do have a loving Heavenly Father, that he does want good for us, that he's going to see us through whatever our circumstances are, that he even loves this person that's making my life so miserable. Let us hold firmly to what we believe because of Jesus. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do. So he doesn't look at us and say, how could you do that? How could you fail in that way? How could you not live up to what I've instructed you to do? He doesn't just give us a failing grade and kick us out of class. No, he understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin, which means then he has conquered the temptation. He has conquered the enemy. He can then help us to conquer what has defeated us in the past. He is our high priest. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When we are overwhelmed, when we're not sure how we're going to make it through, because of Jesus, we can come boldly to God and receive that mercy and that grace to forgive us for the ways that we failed to do it right in the past, the grace and strength and guidance and wisdom to do it better this next time, to actually pray in all circumstances, to give thanks, also to fix our thoughts on the good. He is able to help us. Let's put this into practice right now. Let's pray before we celebrate communion together. Thank you, God. Thank you that looking out for people like us, you knew, because you lived it, Jesus, you knew how overwhelmed we can be sometimes by our circumstances, by worries, by enemies, by life. And so, God, you have given us instruction. You've given us examples, including the perfect example of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Messiah. You have shown us the way forward, the way through. So help us. Help us, God, to put into practice this practice of prayer, of praying about everything, of taking all of life and giving it to you, the things that we need, and the good things that you've done that we're thankful for, God. Help us to take all of it, God, to you in prayer. Thank you for all the ways you help us do that, the beautiful scriptures and psalms, the beautiful songs that help us to cry out to you, God. Thank you for all the ways that you help us in our need to connect with our gracious God, to receive the mercy and the grace that we so desperately need. It's because of you, Jesus. It's because of your love for us. And so we thank you that we have this sacrament that we get to celebrate together with Christians around the world that reminds us of this great love that you have for us, Jesus, that you have demonstrated. We offer to you these simple gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, you took that bread and broke it and gave it to your disciples and said, "Eat this. This is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." You took the cup, gave it to your disciples and said, "This, drink this. This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." You wanted us to remember, Jesus. You said, "This is the new covenant. This seals the new agreement between God and humanity. That this is how we come to the throne of our gracious God. Because you, Jesus, are our high priest. You have made a way. You, by your death and resurrection, have conquered sin and death and the devil. All those things that overwhelm us, God, you give us victory and freedom and life. Even our failures and sins are not too big for you, God. And so today, in response to your gracious gift and your overwhelming love, we offer you ourselves, acknowledging our need of your mercy and grace. We've not always loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not always turned to you in prayer, especially for those enemies. God, we come to you today seeking your forgiveness and receiving it. Receiving your grace, receiving your mercy, receiving your forgiveness today. Your word tells us, we confess our sins and you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The ugliness that has been a part of our experience, part of our thinking, our attitude, our lives, God, you wash it away. You wash it clean and you make new life possible, a life of love, a life of goodness, a life of grace. Thank you, God. There may be specific things that have nothing to do with this morning's message, but that you, God, by your Holy Spirit, are speaking to us right now, some things going on in our lives that you're telling us, look, that's a problem. You got to turn from that sin. You got to turn to me. You got to receive forgiveness. You got to receive a fresh start. God, if you're poking our hearts with something, if you're exposing something in our hearts right now, then God, we don't want to try to cover it back up. We want to confess it to you. We want to let you heal what is broken in us. We want to repent of our sin and turn to you to find freedom and forgiveness and life. So we do that today. Thank you, God. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ, we pray. Change us from the inside out, so that we can live in this world as the body of Christ, as your sons and daughters loved by you. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup and eat it and return to your seats. Oh, yes, please. The musicians are coming. They're going to lead us in one last song while we do this. I forgot to say that. Yeah, thanks. All right, you are invited. Come on up. Yeah. They're going to lead us in one song as we celebrate communion together. And whether you're taking the regular little pita bread or the gluten-free wafers or the individual cups, or maybe you picked up cups on the way in, we want this to be for all of us, okay? All of us who are hungry for God's grace, who are grateful for his love, all of us who need to come to him to receive these things, we are invited to come and to receive. And if today you're saying, look, I just need someone to take a moment to pray with me, we have got folks. Pastor Judy would be happy to pray. Romeo would be happy to pray. We've got others that would be happy to pray with you. If today you're saying, like, oh, I just need someone to come and pray, you can come on forward. Come to the side up here, and Pastor Judy or Romeo or somebody else will come and to be happy to pray with you before communion, after communion, whenever you need it, okay? Let's come to God. Let's receive his grace. Let's celebrate his love.
Run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the high.
Oh, thank you, God, that we don't need to hide from you, but we can run to you to receive your mercy and your grace. Help us to do that, not just today, but help us to live lives where we run to you, where we lean into you, lives fueled by your grace, God. Thank you. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, that we might be those who share with others the same grace and goodness and hope and life that you have given to us. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.